Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Vocab with John and
Angel.
And Vocab is where we talk in English in full once a week to talk about all the interesting facts and stories and news around the world. And Angel, so what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about why are there so many chefs who want to open their restaurant in the countryside?
In the countryside?
Yes.
Can chefs make money in the countryside? Look, we have many cooks, right? Many people have cooking skills and they can cook. They can start a little street stall, okay, on the side of the street. They can start their business behind a cart, okay? They can push a cart. We've seen all the street vendors around Taiwan and around the world.
Yeah.
But chefs who belong in the kitchen, to go to the countryside, do they have a market there? Is there a market for them to survive and make money?
I think it comes in both ways. Like, some people choose to open a restaurant in the countryside because it's a tourism spot. So there will be many tourists coming.
Okay.
Like the one we have talked about last episode.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many omakase restaurants in Taidong.
Yes.
So those are, you know, actually one of the omakase restaurant, the chef actually was the one of the Michelin restaurant.
Really? He worked at a Michelin restaurant.
He got the skill and then he got the reputation.
So we talked about the omakase restaurants, right? And you know, I haven't been to enough to you know, to make any comments about them, but you obviously have. And with these omakase restaurants, it requires culinary talent, right? To know, like, hey, today we've got this kind of fish or that kind of vegetable, this kind of produce in terms of local produce. They have to figure a new menu out almost on a daily basis to bring it to the table.
Yes.
And so for a lot of tourists, that's a big attraction, right? To be able to eat local.
Yes, they want to taste what the local eat.
Okay. The attraction is, number one, highly talented Michelin-starred chef or, you know, quality chef that's creating all these dishes out of local produce, which is the next attraction. And then also, the following attraction is it could be somewhat of a local style. Let's say, you know, of Aboriginal descent, right? Of Aboriginal origins or of Fujian origins or the Taiwanese, Tainan origins. So a lot of styles can be added to the local produce that they get. And a lot of times, I think the another attraction is in Taipei or in major cities, in New Taipei City, in Taipei City, we can go to these Hakka restaurants or Tainan restaurants. And we can also enjoy these cuisines. But while you travel and you go to Tainan, you have an authentic Tainan cuisine in Tainan. That is just on a different level.
Yes, difference.
Yeah, but you can still get it in Taipei and New Taipei City. There are lots and lots of famous restaurants. But if you go to Hualien, you want sort of something Hualien authentic, true to the roots of Hualien. When you go to Tainan,
I like that.
Yes, and we are sort of spoiled for choice in Taiwan, right? Because give us 4 hours, we can get to Hualien. Give us 2.5 hours, 3 hours, we can get to Tainan and Kaohsiung and all the places with different types of cuisine styles available to us. So we're spoiled for choice. But then again, the real money still lies in the big cities, right? The major cities in Taiwan.
Yes.
So if chefs go to the countryside, they can, they can open omakase restaurants. But how do they survive? Can they survive? That's my biggest question. And are there enough tourists to support these restaurants?
But I think because if you want to open the restaurants in Taipei, I think it's highly restricted by many factors, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you couldn't. So let's see. If I'm a chef, I work in the restaurant. So every day, the menu of the daily menu, I might have some ideas I want to create, but I have to ask my boss who really owned the restaurant, right?
Okay.
Yes. Agreed. And then the rental fee is so expensive.
Yes.
Of course, I need to hire the staff. So all these expense that makes having my own restaurant in Taipei is relatively expensive. If I choose to open my own restaurant in the countryside, maybe because the supply chain should be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And of course, the rental fee for the shop.
Yes.
A lot cheaper than in the major city like Taipei. So I think I may not have the chance to make big money, but I think it's okay to make a living in the countryside.
Okay. Mm. So making a living, making ends meet, that shouldn't be a problem. And also the trade-off here is in the major cities, the supplies are relatively stable. So you get the same quality fish all year round, right? Because there are distributors, there are importers who help you secure your supplies. Whereas if you own like a omakase restaurant in Taidong, for example, I mean, it's all fresh produce, yes, and it doesn't mean you get corn all year round. It doesn't mean you get the same quality shrimp or seafood all year round. Mm. It's very seasonal. It depends on the season.
Very seasonal,
yeah,
yes.
It really depends on what gets produced locally. So, you know, another attraction, I believe, this is my guess, is that once they go to these, let's say, small townships or medium-sized cities, they actually get access to a lot of the seasonal stuff that will never be part of the regular supply chain in major cities. You know, the very extremely local niche type of produce that is only produced, that's limited in quantity and all that. For some chefs, I believe that could be also an attraction because that would mean that they have a very niche ingredient to work with.
Yes, that's right.
You know, big cities, it's just lobster, right? It's just lobster, scallop, shark fins, you know, all the fancy stuff. But the minute the minute you go and let's say Taidong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to, let's say, Taichung, and, you know, or if you, for instance, situate yourself in near a harbor, a port of some sort, then it really depends. You get all these niche kind of produce and fish and meat and vegetables that's unique to the region. And for some chef, that could put them on the map, you know. They're the person to go to for this kind of fish in Taichung. And it's only available from June, July, and August. You gotta book in advance.
Right.
They create these special seasonal menus that's dedicated. Yeah. So with the chef situation, chefs are essentially artists as well. So they need to pursue something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the small locale attraction for chefs in general. It's, to a certain point, it's not about the money anymore. It's about what can I create that's totally different from other people and that's never seen before. And that's artistic.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the article that we both read, they're talking about Paris chefs. So from major cities, Paris chefs are leaving for the countryside. And I believe in Taiwan, a lot of our famous Michelin star chefs are also going to the countrysides now.
Yes.
They usually set up shop in Taipei, New Taipei City. They have put themselves on the map, on the magazines, get Michelin recommendation. And then they all sort of move away or at least change their supplies, right, to very local produce. And this term, I don't know if you've heard this before, from farm to table.
From farm to table.
Yeah, farm to table. They started with this idea from farm to table. And that means some of the restaurant would own their own farms.
They produce their own product?
Yeah, they have their own produce, seasonal produce, might I add.
Nice.
And that is, you know, very niche to this particular restaurant. And I believe that's also what Andre Zhang, he's doing for RAW, for Raw. He also, for some of his menus, he went so far as to, you know, go to Taidong and Hualien. He actually, you know, started a co-op with a lot of the local farmers to produce whatever that he could make into a Michelin-ready cuisine.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what he did. And I was very, very impressed with that. although it's nothing new, you know, for him to go that far, you know, it's actually very costly to get that done.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yes.
And also, how do you get, you know, these farmers to feel safe and secure financially enough for them to say, okay, I'm not trying to go and mass produce fancy corn, or I'm going to mass produce Japanese rice just to make ends meet. You know, I'm going to really try and lift up the local produce and highlight, you know, this niche market. Even for the farmers, it's a challenge. They also have to make ends meet.
Of course.
The story talks about Paris chefs leaving for the countryside, which I think in Taiwan, it's, you know, we have easy access, to be honest. You know, it's a 2-3 hour drive. But still, in Taiwan, for farmers to make ends meet, it's very challenging because it's such a competitive island. We are really, really competitive.
Our difference in South Africa?
Because
that's common in Taiwan.
Yes. In South Africa, everything is frozen. So, you know, it goes through the distribution system. You know, the local fresh produce, technically, it's not from farm to table exactly, but vegetables, fruit and vegetables, they are being shipped constantly on a daily basis from neighboring small towns to the major cities. So it's just right outside the cities, you get farms and farms and farms. And of course, the butcheries and the solar houses, they're also situated very close to wherever the big cities are. But here's the problem is when there's an oversupply, or, you know, when you're trying to build a scale, a scalable business, then you have to involve not only logistics, but warehousing and storage, which means eventually a lot of the meat, then not all the meat you get at the butchery are 100% slaughtered on the same day. It's somewhat frozen and things like that.
And defrozen.
Yes. And of course, fresh produce, fresh meat and vegetables are slightly more expensive than the frozen ones, as you can understand.
Yes.
So in South Africa, we're very used to, even in the US, you have to be very used to frozen foods.
Yes. I know some of the Americans, they have never seen a real chicken in their life.
No, it's understandable. Well,
yeah, right?
Yes, it's understandable. They've seen frozen chicken thighs and frozen drumsticks and frozen turkey, but that's about it. They've never seen a whole chicken, a whole turkey, and what they look like. And, you know, because there's such a distance from farm to table.
To tables.
Yes. And then those restaurants who promote the idea of farm to table, they are generally for connoisseurs, for people who know food, for gourmets.
Oh, for gourmet only.
Yeah, like yourself.
I wouldn't say that.
You know a thing or two about food.
Ah.
For you, Angel, in the big cities, do you find it that you prefer going, let's say, going back to your hometown, or when you're on the road, you tend to want to eat local stuff as opposed to, you know, the franchise, the chain stores? Because, you know, me personally, I grew up with franchise and chain stores. So for me, that's the safest food there is, right? And in South Africa, the minute you step away from franchises and chain stores, you are really going to taste local stuff that you might not enjoy. So, it'll be an acquired taste. Uh-huh. Yeah, it could be risky. You're trying something. Right? I'm talking about the days when we didn't have Yelp, we didn't have, Iping Wang, we didn't have Google Map, the days. So the chances of you staying, stepping away from the franchises that you know and the chain stores that you know, 8 out of 10 times, you're going to have to challenge your taste bud.
Yeah, 8 out of 10 times, I'll be disappointed most of the time.
Yes. Are you also like that? Are you spoiled by, you know, the whole...
Those reviews?
No, I mean, do you go by that? Do you stay safe and go with chain stores and franchises? Or do you go and, you know, opt for the local stuff and challenge your taste buds?
I will go for the local stuff.
Ah.
Yeah. See, for the chain stores, you can taste it everywhere, like in Taipei, anywhere. Mm-hmm. The taste is the same, right? And the food is the same.
Yes.
But in Taidong or Tainan, maybe, I could be disappointed, but at least I try. If I didn't try, then I will be regretted. Oh my God, that one could be unforgettable meals in this trip.
Okay.
You will never know, right?
I see. Mm-hmm. So when you're on the road, you tend to want to taste local.
I will choose the local, definitely.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Me, you know, I tend to play safe most of the time. I go safe. But in Taiwan, we really spoil for choice because there's no real food that's terrible or that challenges your taste buds. I can't say the same, you know, internationally. I don't think it's mm-hmm. it's exactly the same. You know, some local foods in Italy and France and all that.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
It might not be your thing. They might not be your thing. And yes, even local foods in South Africa might not be your thing. You
local
know, it's a quiet
Africa.
Taste.
Oh.
You have to get used to it, you know. You have to sort of, like, for instance, in South Africa, we had ostrich meat.
Oh,
and,
yes.
That you know, it's an acquired
tasty.
Taste. It's not something that you would, hey, you know, go to McDonald's and want to order an ostrich burger. But
right.
But while you're there in the ostrich region or ostrich mm-hmm. farm region, you would want to try and, you know, and have it as an experience. But for us, you know, for the 20 years that I've been there, I've had ostrich steak and ostrich egg numerous times, but it's not something I want on a daily basis. It's an acquired taste. It's nice. It's interesting, uh-huh. but that's about it. Something worth trying, but not worth having on a regular basis.
Oh, because every time different. When I travel to South Africa, because we, all of my crew friends, we will go to a certain restaurant and then have a bar, have a drinks and
yes.
have the steak there. And then we will definitely order the ostrich steak.
Meat.
Yeah.
ostrich then, steak.
Because I thought that, because I heard that the ostrich steak is very healthy, high in protein and
yes.
low in calories.
Extremely high in protein.
Yes.
And
so
extremely
why don't you guys
tough.
Eat it every day? Extremely what? Sorry?
It's also extremely tough, ostrich meat, to be honest.
Oh, yes.
It's not easy to prepare. It's a different type of meat. It's not chicken.
Okay.
It's a very, it's
How
not,
about
it's
a
not
price?
Chicken meat.
Because it's very hard to get ostrich meat outside of South Africa. Mm. Because at least in Taiwan, I've only seen two stores selling it.
I know. And look, it's an acquired taste.
Okay.
And acquired taste means... It's not something you would want to have every day, but
every
you
day.
Sort of learn to slowly accept it if and see if you really like it, right? It's something you have to ease yourself into. So in South Africa, it took me, 20 years to sort of be okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
So in Taiwan, I mean, you know, for Taiwanese people, I would say it's just for fun, right?
It's just
for
fun,
More
yes.
for novelty, more for...
For an experience, life
yes.
experience.
Yes. But for us in South Africa, we would visit on our travels. We would just pop by the ostrich farm. And also we would have ostrich jerkies and things like that. That's all readily available. That's available on the market. But it's not something that we are, you know, that we would want to have like on a daily basis. No.
Uh-huh.
I think in Taiwan, there are some vegetables and some fruits that are very local, right? That
yeah.
we don't see on the market. Even we might have seen it before. But mm-hmm. it doesn't mean we want to buy it from Carrefour and have it on a regular basis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That reminds me of a kind of fish called mahi-mahi sword. Have you heard
yes.
of the fish?
Yes.
Yes. Have you tasted before?
A mahi-mahi is like a swordfish, right?
Yeah. I the swordfish. But I'm not sure whether... Are they the same kind of fish?
Anyways, it's a kind of fish. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know my fish. But I know mahi-mahi is very popular. It's sort of an alternative to tuna for some of the dishes, yes.
Yeah, but I think it's not easily to be seen in Taipei.
No, it's not a thing, no.
Yeah, but in Taidong, because Taidong is where we don't say produce, where we fish them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is actually a local restaurant that solely sell the mahi-mahi swap.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and that one is really good. Every time I travel
really?
Back to Taidong, yeah, even though it takes one hour and a half of driving, every time I will go there and to get a pack of mahi-mahi swap.
Very, very cool. So what, yeah. what is it? It's just, do they give you a whole fish or is it fish fillet or what is, how's the
prepared? Fried fish fillet.
Fried actually. Fish fillet.
Yes. You might think it's,
interesting.
You might think it's normal, but I don't eat fish at all. You have to understand that. I don't eat
you
fish
don't?
At all. I don't. At
I thought
all.
Everybody
I
in Taiwan loves seafood. That's, I thought that's like a given because being an island.
An island, yes.
Yeah, we live but on an island. We get seafood like all the time.
I don't have that talent.
Really? So your thing is maki-maki. So if you yeah. see maki-maki on the menu, you would order it.
Not exactly. Because sometimes, yeah, it still depends on the skills of the chef.
Okay.
I just don't like the taste of the fish. But in that particular store, they will season the maki-maki swirl. Mm-hmm. Into a very, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just so yummy, so tasty.
Wow.
So even for me, who cannot eat fish at all, but I will still enjoy my fish fillet.
And again, coming back to what we discussed, that's mm-hmm. the attraction, not only for chefs, right? For tourists as well. The minute you go yes. local, this is a local thing. In Taipei, yeah, maki-maki sounds interesting, but...
You can go there next yeah. time if you have time to yes. go to Taitung.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, for sure. This is definitely going on.
Please.
yeah. I'm going to definitely make note of this and go to the maki-maki store because I've heard of the fish. I know there's a dish, maki-maki dish, but I've never tasted it in my life. And you see, okay. this is the thing in Taipei. We, again, we tend to go safe and we've been spoiled for going safe, right? You know, stick to the franchises, stick to the chain stores. They always have a very, you know, they're efficient in their menu, in the way they cook and everything. But mm-hmm. the minute you're on the road, there's no guarantee and there's you have to let yourself experience it, the real local cuisine. Right.
Yeah.
If you don't mention it, like because you're from Taitung, so you know all the places locally. But for us to go there, and then if I were to see this restaurant like Maki Maki, mm-hmm. what would I do? I would go on Google Map and Google the restaurant and read the reviews first, and then I'll probably discuss with my family members like, are you in for a different kind of fish? And they'll be like, no, let's go to a place that has salmon and tuna.
Ah.
Right, you see, this is the thing with tourists. You tend to stick to what you know.
Yes.
Right, unless mm-hmm. like you have recommended that we all go to the Mahi Mahi store now. So be sure next time you go home, you will see us lining up and you know, in competition with you for your favorite Mahi Mahi fish.
Yes, the thing.
You
so
have spilled the beans.
I have spilled the bean.
Yes.
And for the records, that Mahi Mahi sword has 4.5
star rating on Google Map?
Yeah, star rating on Google Map. Yes.
Okay.
So you have to compete with so many tourists.
The cat is out of the bag.
Yeah.
The cat is out of the bag.
It's not a secret anymore.
It's not a secret anymore. You will be sure that we will be in competition, in line for your Mahi Mahi fish. Yes.
That's right.
We will be there. Right. 15 Minutes Fam, that's all the time we have for you today. I hope you like the topic today. Do you have any of these local restaurants that you recommend? Please do let us know in the comments below. And we will catch you in the next one. See ya.
Bye.